This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Welcome to the Tuesday, Friday edition of the Ned and Josh podcast. Public holiday tomorrow, so it's like Friday.
But this is a podcast, so...
It's a good point. You can be listening to this whenever.
Yeah, exactly right. We recorded it the day before public holiday, so true. I mean, we're very excited to get out of here, but...
If you're listening today, Tuesday the 25th of January, expecting a tomorrow one, there won't be one. But
sorry.
But then it'll be back 27th of January, so there we go.
We're enjoy. Taking
the
day off.
Hey, I got to say, it's a big podcast, though. We got into a lot of stuff. I admitted to the team that I made a meal for myself that might be one of the finest meals I've ever cooked.
You made a meal of a meal.
And no one was there to enjoy it but me. And it just felt like a waste. Yeah, felt like an absolute waste.
Speaking of meals, we spoke about what I consider to be a full course meal, TikTok biscuits. We played the TikTok game.
Tremendous.
It was.
You need to get more into your diet than just that, but they are delicious.
I do eat other stuff.
Plus also...
Like M&Ms.
Once again, oddly, speaking of food, spice is used in food. This is not in that context. Spice Girls are apparently maybe getting back together in the weirdest way possible.
Such a unique... I don't know, event for them to all just come together for.
Don't know if there'll be any singing either. Anyway, that and much more on this morning's edition of the Ned and Josh podcast.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, Mike, thanks for coming down.
No worries.
The only reason I've thought this should be an all-in, because this would normally just be a confession I do to Ned, but I wanted you here as well for backup, because I've already told you this story.
Yes.
And you have a very similar story.
I really do.
Last night, I sat down and made myself, I didn't sit down, I stood up. I stood up and made myself what can only be described as essentially McDonald's at home, because the Coles have pickles you can buy that taste like cheeseburger pickles. Mm. So it's incredible.
They call
them special burger pickles.
Right.
It's part of their special burger range, which I like to call the Coles Please Don't Sue Us range, because you can get the special sauce, you can get the pickles. You can build Maccas at home, essentially. And I did that. I grilled up on the little barbecue on my balcony, grilled up some patties, sat down, put the cheese on top of the patty on the barbecue. Not usually what I do, but I thought I saw someone do that the other day. I'm like, that's genius. Mm-hmm. Did that, sat down. Chips were air fried to perfection. It was actually like takeaway at home, and it was just for me.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one else there to enjoy it. I went, this is such a waste.
I'm taking it in.
I didn't even enjoy it that much because no one else was there. I had no one else to share the meal with. And I thought to myself, this has been probably one of four good cooking outings I get a year.
Yeah.
And I've wasted it on myself.
Yeah. Don't say waste it on yourself. No, you're worth it.
Thank you, Michael. It was wasted on myself.
I know it's nice.
And at that point, I thought to myself, I can nearly see the Macca's drive-thru from my balcony.
Yeah.
Why didn't I just go and get Maccas? This wasn't for anyone. I'm not even showing off with my amazing, we can do this at home skills.
So did you have a similar situation, Michael?
I did. So instead of doing, the frozen chips in the oven for 20 minutes or whatever, I actually had potatoes that were cut up properly and doused in rosemary and garlic and oil, and then proper roast potatoes.
Mm. Yep.
Was just for me.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Obviously, is the dousing of that was done by you.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't like a pre-mixed thing that was in a tray. So this was all done by you.
I put the oil on.
Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yes.
Were you playing classical music while this was happening? I can imagine you just having a real zen moment with some classical music and just garnishing like salt bay. Just little various herbs and spices.
The chicken I had with it was still frozen.
You can only do so much. It's so funny. We've been best friends for nearly 10 years now. Yeah. When you said that you wanted to talk about this, you're like, I've prepared a fancy meal last night. Yeah. I thought you were going to be like... figured out lobster guys caviar's my new ish.
No, it was going to be.
It was just a hamburger.
How well I made fake McDonald's at home. You should have known that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh.
Hmm.
Jennifer Lopez. Jenny from the block. Don't be fooled by the rocks that she's got. She's still Jenny from the block.
Yep.
Doesn't drive her own car.
Which is wild to me because she could afford some of the nicest cars on earth. It's safe to say she could afford cars that were quite loud.
So, such a stretch. Such a long bow.
I apologise to everyone for that.
Well, no, not only could she, she owns some of the most expensive cars that you can buy. She owns a Bentley. Here's the thing.
Now, you get someone to drive a Bentley for you.
Exactly. Well, here's
what I don't understand. Like, there are rich people that own Rolls Royces and just have someone else drive them.
It's essentially
like,
you bought a car for them.
You do, but why wouldn't you want to drive it?
I get the ones that are like limos in the back. It's like a sedan that has huge backseat area. I'm like, yeah, I get that, because then you're just chilling or whatever. But look, when she turned 25, she's just stopped driving. She was just like, I didn't really need to. I was getting driven around everywhere. It was fine. And then for her 50th birthday, her then fiance, Alex Rodriguez, bought her a Bentley that she was like, well, I can't have one of the nicest cars on the planet not drive it. So she started driving again 25 years later. They are no longer together. She still driving the Bentley. That's why I know about this, because she's 52 now.
What do you think the odds are on the 50th birthday Bentley? It was actually just A-Rod getting a bit sick of like, babe, can you just take me down the shop?
Yeah.
That would have been, I would be like, nope, I'm buying you a car for your birthday.
Hey, guess what?
I've had enough of being the taxi.
You're driving again, hun. I think that's exactly what's happened. I just like 25 years without driving. That's wild. That's longer than I've driven.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's literally longer than
I've been alive. Yeah. I don't understand. I don't want to get too hot button with this, but it's like when you see somebody who's a bit older on the road and it's like, oh God, you're doing 30 under the speed limit. You've just tried to merge without indicating. You know how people say you should have to keep doing a test to keep your license?
Yeah.
How do you go for 25 years without driving and still technically, as long as you're renewing it, you're good.
That's good to go.
You haven't stepped in the car in a quarter of a century, but get behind the wheel of a V8. That doesn't make sense.
And that's exactly what she's done. I don't know why that's been allowed, but it's what she's been allowed to do. I just like... 25 years without doing something seems like the most amount of time that you can go.
When did you get your license?
When I was 22 or 3. So it's 4 years for me.
It's a bit later than most people. Yeah. I've got mine at 16 and a half. That's considerably older.
If I stopped Olympics. If I stopped driving now, I would be older than Jennifer Lopez if I started driving again.
Wild.
I'm trying to think of what I've... What have you like gone without? Did you give up something?
I didn't go without. We were living in the Gold Coast together, so I was 25 when I saw Star Wars for the first time.
Yeah, so you went 25 years
old when I watched the original Star Wars trilogy for the first time. Yeah. Tell people that and they're like, what?
Yeah. It's a long time to
It didn't ever interest me.
I think when I was like 14, I used to bite my nails a lot, like heaps. And then when I was 14, I just decided I'm not going to... It was like weird. I remember sitting in my bedroom thinking, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then I haven't bitten my nail since. I hate it.
Like a conscious decision. I'm not going to do this
literally
anymore.
Was like, I wish that I could do it with other awful habits I had in my life. But I literally was just one day like, I'm not going to do that. And so I guess that was... 12 years ago.
I'm never going to eat takeaway again.
I doubt it. You've really got to
I don't have that kind of willpower. I don't know how you did that with your fingernails. That's amazing.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
It is absolutely time, and it's now. Make a lot of sense, but anyway, that's fine. Don't worry about it.
You know what? Doesn't matter.
Don't stress.
We're just delirious in the studio here because we're playing the TikTok game.
It is one of our favorite games.
It's a game where I have a TikTok biscuit in my hand. It's a yellow iced one. You have to get on the phone 131060 and try and guess what the time is on the TikTok biscuit. If you can do that, what are they going to win, Josh?
They're going to win a $50 Cucina voucher, the best Italian restaurant, Nichols. But here's a little bit of the funny. They're going to win that either way. That's a participation award.
We'd
love to be able to get something like a watch or something to give away.
If you're a jeweler and you want to sponsor the TikTok game, pretty rad because it almost never goes off.
Get in touch with your friendly neighbourhood station sales representative.
Yes, please.
Hey, we've got Noel on the line from McGregor. Noel, how are you?
Good, fellas.
Yeah, very good. Noel, I forgot to play your dramatic intro music. Sorry.
Yeah,
here we go.
Noel,
you're in the Thunderdome.
Noel, up until now, what's been the most stressful thing in your life, mate?
Very risky question to ask someone on live radio. You know what, Noel? Don't worry about answering that, mate. That's your business.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. This is a stressful situation, no doubt about it. And we now need to get in to the TikTok guess, I believe. The time that is on this yellow Arnott's TikTok biscuit.
What about this for a question? When you watched the movie The Hurt Locker, Noel, did you associate with Jeremy Renner's character? Did you go, I could probably handle
that tense?
Disarming a bomb? Because this is what's kind of going on here right now.
I've never seen The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a better question. How about you shut up, Ned, and we just get a goal from Noel? Just get a guess from him. A goal from Noel is what I said. That's what we're aiming
for. We're aiming for a goal from Noel.
Here we go. What's your guess, Noel?
10 past 11.
10 past 11.
10 past 11 is incorrect because it's 1 o'clock.
There we go.
It is 1 on the dot. Noel? Oh, mate.
Sorry about that, Noel.
Look, I am very, very sorry to see, but Noel.
Great news for you is Cucina voucher to the best Italian pretty restaurant, Nichols. There, that's coming your way, mate. Congratulations. Noel, no more dumb questions from Ned.
Well, no more dumb questions from Ned. Noel, who do you think deserves, who needs to eat the biscuit? Is it Josh or I?
Josh,
yeah, I was going to say, after those questions, absolutely, mate.
Whatever.
Thank you.
That's a real shame.
Appreciate it, mate. You have a great day.
I get what I've deserved. Yeah, I've earned this time. I can't even be mad. It's not good.
No, it's fantastic. I think the silence is important so you can think about what you've done.
Hmm? Yeah. I didn't deserve it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, Brooklyn Beckham is getting married. Much to
is
the chagrin.
Really?
Yeah, much to the chagrin of all of his
Brooklyn Beckham fans.
Of all of the Brooklyn Beckham fans out there, he's getting married to Nicola Peltz.
Okay.
So congratulations, good on them.
Brooklyn, that's great.
Very exciting.
He's very young, isn't he?
He's 22.
Yeah.
His fiance is 27. So look, good on him. Young in love. I love it. They're getting married. I actually have no idea, so it doesn't actually matter. But something that does matter is obviously Brooklyn Beckham's mum is Victoria Beckham, who was famously in the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
The Spice Girls have been confirmed to all be attending. Emma, Mel, Jerry, and of course, Victoria, completing the set. They will all be at the wedding together.
That is a distractor from the wedding.
Exactly
that is,
right. That's almost worse than wearing white.
I was going to say, a guest wearing white pales in comparison to everyone just constantly during the ceremony looking over going,
yeah.
Are they all sitting together?
Oh,
the Spice Girls
God.
Are just over there.
Well, because this is
is that a karaoke microphone? Are there five? What's happening?
They've never had Victoria with them as well, have they?
Because no, they did a couple of reunions with Victoria.
Right.
And then the most recent one that was at stadiums, I think that was sans Victoria.
Sans Victoria.
Yeah.
So look, it's not the first reunion since they broke up, but it is a pretty big reunion, and so much so that people are already like demanding to come to this wedding and stuff. It's like, look, it would be super distracting and it would be super annoying if you're a massive Spice Girls fan if you were just like, oh, so they're just getting together to hang out and that's not something that I can even view.
I just don't understand, right?
Yeah.
Because the one thing I don't know anything about the Spice Girls' personal lives, apart from Victoria Beckham's married to David Beckham.
Yes.
Jerry Halliwell's married to the guy who does the Formula One stuff in Drive to Survive. I understand that. But apart from that, don't know how long they've spent around Brooklyn Beckham, because the only point I want to make is that Spice Girls broke up in 2000. He was born in 1999.
Mm.
So at most, they ceremony is like one.
Yeah.
Do you have... Because I'm nervous now that every baby I've ever seen in my life, I would be expected to go to that baby's wedding.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no interest in doing that.
Yeah.
Once again, unless the Spice Girls are there.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a pretty good motivator.
It's a very good motivator. I just don't. Really? Do they all have to... They can't all be that close to Brooklyn Beckham.
It's got to be because Victoria's like, you're all my best friends. You've got to come to my... That being said, I also don't want to do that for all my best friends' kids. That means I'm going to have to go to so many weddings when I'm older.
What if in some turn of events... Actually, like Mel C is like Nicola Peltz's godmother. We're not even thinking the angle that it's not about Brooklyn at all.
Then they'll be forever together.
Who knows?
Spice Girls.
Oh my God.
The possibilities are endless.
You don't have to get anything on the gift registry if you are one of the Spice Girls and you sing one song.
No, that's
if
your
you
gift
sing
to the
one
world.
Song, that's it. You don't have to get a gift.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, look, there's this kid who's gone off to military school. He's been away for a few years, and he's, like, decided to come home and surprise his parents.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I've done it. Have you ever surprised your parents? Or
I did once, but it was only my mum, because logistically I knew that I'd have to organise some things, so I told Dad and then surprised Mum for her birthday.
That is a very, very, very good thing to mention and would have completely made this kid avoid what happened to him.
Yeah.
If you include one parent, I've done the same. I surprised my dad for his birthday, and I had to tell Mum and was like, hey, here's when I land, here's when I fly. Can you come and get me and stuff like this? This kid has decided I'm going to come home at night, going to get the sister. I think he's teed his sister up. So he's like, film me. I'll go in at night, open the door and go, hey, what's bloody going on in here?
Yeah.
And then his parents will go, oh my God, you're home. It's been forever. Lovely. It sounds like it's a really good idea.
Yes.
His sister is filming him. They go up to the door. It's nighttime.
No.
He opens the door and immediately finds his parents having sex.
No, no. Yeah.
So 2 years in the making, the first time you see them, a great way to re-enter your parents' lives.
No, not at all.
So they're freaking out. The sister then freaks out. It's like, what's happened? Why is everyone screaming and goes around? Then she sees it. So essentially everyone in the family has seen mum and dad go at it. It just could have been avoided if you'd keyed mum or dad in.
Any of them, really?
Any of them.
Any of them.
But it needed to be one of them, because how would this sister know? It's like, I'll keep an eye on whether or not they're a bit randy tonight, will I? It's just, it's a freak occurrence. There's nothing that, it just is
just
awful.
Makes me so, so worried. Yeah. I literally, for this exact thing too, I think the parents would feel terrible. And that's,
of course.
And that's, but that's, they've done nothing wrong. Like, they're not doing it. It's great to see mum and dad love each other. Yeah. You just don't want to watch mum and dad love each other.
It's awful. It's illegal to.
It's terrible.
It just, do you think you go downstairs and have a conversation afterwards?
I think you do. I think you have to sheepishly
and go, hey, mate.
You have to clear it up somehow. You have to be like, oh, well, let's get this back on track because we are very excited to see you.
We were just wrestling. He's like, I'm 25. Yeah, no, you weren't
wrestling. You know what? I think this is a message for all parents whose kids don't live at the house.
Yeah.
This is a rule moving forward. Not on full blast, but loud enough to be heard from the door.
Yeah.
Just this music.
Just 70s.
Just this music loud enough to be heard from the door. Yeah. And if kids walk up and go to knock and hear. Okay, no.
Okay, good. I'll come back in 10 minutes.
Probably only five, to be honest.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, I. About to talk negatively about one of my favourite Australian institutions.
Well, that should offset some of and the not just, negativity.
Well, not just that, but they're an institution that's one of those business success stories where you just sort of go, wow, they're even expanding into the US now. There's US stores and UK stores.
So you're messing with an international brand.
I was in Westfield Belco yesterday.
Yes.
And I do not, for the life of me, and this happens all around the country, and I don't get why they do it, because I think actually I saw it in Woden the other day. It's happened in Woden as well. Mm. Why do Cotton On constantly change the size of the store that the guys' clothes are on and the girls' clothes are on?
Yeah.
Like once every 18 months, they just swap.
Yep.
So you walk into the store, as you would normally do, and go to the left, which is where I go to see cool t-shirts and maybe a nice shirt that I'd wear down to like a pool party or something. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there's crop tops and cool sundresses. I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
What happened?
And then I look over there and go, oh, that's where everything is now. Why? Why have we done that?
I also don't like that the t-shirt, short, jumper, jacket, like they all get mixed around
inside.
Sometimes
they go from the front of the store to the back, and then it's the back of the store to the front. I get that it's about like maybe making people walk around the store more so they don't just go to the one place all the time, but they go for an explore and they go, oh, they do sunglasses. Oh, they do beach towels. Oh, they do homewares now for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just a continual moving people around the store.
Sure.
But what it does to me is makes me feel like I'm having some kind of a freak out.
Yeah.
Where was it ever on this side of the store? What do I think it's on this side of the store? Like, you know how the planet sometimes gets reverse polarization where like they talk about that, where the North Pole becomes the South Pole. I think about that in my brain. I'm like, have I forgotten what left and right is? Was I always confused about what left and right is? And then I go, no, calm down.
It's just a store.
They've swapped the sides of the store.
I do. I always think whenever they move to a different display as well, I always go, oh, way less shirts now. When it's probably not the case at all, but because they've moved them to a different thing, I'm always like, oh, way less whatever.
I must admit, I walked in yesterday. I went, God, do we need this many shirts?
Right.
There are a lot of shirts at the moment. A lot of different shirts.
Woolies is also awful for it as well. I'm sorry, but Woolies, you know what you've done. Mm. Randomly, we'll just change aisle 1 to aisle 7 and aisle 7 to aisle 3 and aisle 3 to aisle 2. And it's like, where is anything, guys?
I'm certainly not trying to give you the reverse polarization in your brain. I must admit, I've never noticed that at Woolies. So this might be a you thing. Woolies seems to be pretty it's pretty stock standard on where they're putting everything.
Maybe it was just the one Woolies I go to, because it did seem like they did it once and then never again.
Yeah.
But it's thrown me still. It happened like a year and a half ago, and I still don't know where the cheese is.
I tell you what I cannot abide and what actually blows my mind every single time it happens. The way that Woolies put some things in some places and then Coles put them in other places. Like in Coles, toppings are next to like the tomato sauce at the Coles in Gungahlin.
Yes.
And I was like, so I was wandering aimlessly around Coles yesterday trying to find chocolate topping, because I normally go to Woolies, but for whatever reason I went to Coles yesterday. And I was like, just with dessert stuff, where would that be?
Yeah, it's near lolly
stuff. Oh, of course, opposite the ketchup. That makes no sense.
That's what I want.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Confuse chocolate sauce with barbecue sauce.
Oh my God. We need everybody needs to have some kind of a test done on their brain so we can all work out how stores should lay out things. What makes the most sense to a vast majority of people?
You and I certainly need a test done.
Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
I understand that for new parents, I'm trying to think what our thing was. Probably if you asked my mum and dad, they'd say The Lion King was an over and over and over again onslaught when I was a kid. Me and my sister used to watch it. When Timon and Pumbaa used to do their hula dance, we had a whole thing we used to do. We used to run around the bathroom to that. It was bizarre, but it's fantastic fun as well to remember those childhood memories of running a VCR tape into the ground. We watched something so much.
Having to stop and rewind the entire tape.
The great news is with modern parents, just press play again on that Disney Plus.
It's incredible.
There's no way of running out on a physical media.
Which honestly is probably the chagrin of most parents.
I think they would love to just, the internet's not working today. Yeah, whoopsie, sorry, no Frozen.
Frozen Day is only Sunday. I'll probably try it. If I ever have kids, that's probably what I'll try and do. Sunday's... We can only watch Frozen on Sunday, guys, and just see how long I can get away with stuff like that.
It's the day of our Lord, Elsa.
Exactly right. See how long I can get away with stuff like that for.
When the ice cream machine plays, ice cream van plays music, they don't have any ice cream, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, no, because that'll be very hard to get off the ground because I'll also want ice cream.
I was just using it as an analogy, but that's fine.
The same kind of thing.
I have seen a story this morning about a Roomba that has... Yeah. It's kind of a bit of a brave little toaster type thing as well. The Roomba it works at a hotel, cleaning the floors in the hotel.
Yep.
And then the hotel have gone, we've lost the Roomba. And looks like it's gone at the front door.
Yeah.
And so they have no idea where this Roomba is. It's made a bid for freedom, apparently.
So they still haven't found it.
Let me get to the end of the story. They've put it up on social media. People starting to plot that it's cleaning up like the streets of the city that it's now in. It's gone to live with other Roombas somewhere in safety. Some people have even gone for this is the beginning of some kind of Roomba uprising, which I think is probably...
It's head to the sewers with all the other Roombas.
Oh, my girlfriend has a Roomba.
Yeah.
And anybody who has a Roomba in their life is here to tell you, A, there is no such thing as a Roomba uprising, and B, this thing will be 5 metres from the door underneath something. Guess where it was?
Yeah,
five metres from the door underneath a hedge.
It's funny. It's always nice to know that whenever we get close to, Doomsday's Day or T-1000's taking over, the machine's taking over, that they are just like impeded by hedges and stuff.
Hedges.
And like, help!
Or in my girlfriend's Roomba's case, a bath mat.
Yeah, see,
so
we're fine.
It goes into the bathroom and then gets stuck on the shaggy bath mat. Yeah. It's like, and it's like, Roomba is in distress. And you go and look at it and it's like, how?
Why?
Avoid the bath mat. You obviously know this is not something you can do.
You know that this is not for you, Roomba.
I am not even remotely concerned about a Roomba uprising. Let me be very clear. Yep. But what I do think is that Disney Pixar could make a wonderful movie about a Roomba that thinks it's smart enough to break out of a hotel, only discover that it gets stuck under a hedge.
The brave little Roomba.
And what a terrifying day it would have been for the ants underneath that hedge.
Oh my God.
As their entire colony is sucked into a Roomba.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
But Josh, cruises.
Yep. Yes.
Good on them for sticking through this.
Had a rough couple of years. Yeah.
Well done for sticking around.
And before that, pre-pandemic, every third week there was a story about gastro outbreaks. So they've done really well to still be a thing. People are like, that would be a fun holiday.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because I will be honest, I get seasick, and when this is all said and done, even I'm like, South Pacific cruise would be
sure,
all right.
Why not?
I literally thought that the other day, and I'm like, wait a minute. What, that is how powerful the allure of a cruise ship can be.
Well, the allure of a cruise ship is still very much in effect because the Crystal Symphony has been carrying around 300 passengers on a two-week cruise through the Caribbean. Now, while they were on this cruise, enjoying themselves, seeing the beautiful islands of the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, or however I just said it, when a U.S. judge...
Two different ways, actually, which is interesting.
I'm giving everyone every myriad of options. A U.S. judge granted an arrest warrant for the ship over a $1.2 million fuel bill. Not good, obviously.
So they've literally done a petrol Bowser runner.
They were just like, all right, so yeah, let's get out of here. They were meant to land in Florida, but then found out about this.
Yeah.
Liquidated the company and then just went on the run.
Oh, my God.
In a...
230-meter-long cruise ship.
They're now pirates.
They're now pirates with 300 captives on board.
Oh, my God.
It has been, obviously, they've been caught.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you can't outrun speedboats in a cruise ship,
exactly.
I wouldn't have thought.
But it was just, apparently they were meant to be docking in Florida, yeah. And there was like an announcement over the thing that was just like,
change of plans.
They were like, hey, by the way, we're not going to Florida anymore, so strap in. And there was apparently silence over the ship where everyone was like,
hang on.
For real? Like,
this is certainly not, and the cruise industry collectively went, well, this is not what we needed.
Yeah.
This is certainly something we couldn't have predicted. Hey, just a quick question, though. Take this away from this one specific circumstance. The idea of pirates being on a cruise ship makes me so happy.
It's hilarious.
Can you think, like, if pirates, like, apart from obviously the Captain Phillips style of pirate, where there are literally still people who try to ransom ships.
Talking about
and
the
old
timey
pirates.
I'm
talking about the and treasure hunting pirates with a parrot.
Yeah.
If they were around in these days, like the old school, you know, Jack Sparrow pirate.
Yeah, Blackbeard.
They'd for sure go for cruise ships.
Yeah, of course.
If you could have a ship that had a pool and like a bar and a casino, that would absolutely, you know, like it's like the, you know, like the port towns they go into and it becomes rum and chaos.
Exactly, yeah.
You could do that on the ship. You would 100%. Never need to go anywhere.
And that's exactly right. I remember one of the things about the Pirates of the Caribbean movies is that every time I saw Jack Sparrow's ship, what was it, the Flying Dutchman or whatever it was, I always was like, that looks awful.
Yeah.
It looks like it's falling apart. The Black Pearl. I was always like, the sails look tattered. Imagine if you could be like, here is an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Enjoy.
What about one of those water slides that goes out and around the side of the thing, comes back in?
Come inside, watch all four of the Pirates of the Caribbean
movies.
Just
fantastic, on a screen that you can float in the little in the pool and look at a big screen.
Yeah, look, I don't get the hype around pirate ships. I do get the hype around cruise ships.
Sounds great to me. I tell you what also sounds great to me about this story. You know how when somebody does a runner from the petrol station, they print out the CCTV thing and it's their number plate. Yeah. It's like, have you seen it? I just love that of the cruise ship.
I'll just an enormous cruise ship.
At the petrol station for ships, just going, have you seen this ship? Because they've done a runner, guys.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, Ned, I have been very much keen to get into the gym. I've got, actually, here it is.
You've got your workout routine.
I've got a full workout routine.
You have a booklet.
It's like a 50-page thing. I used work's equipment and binded it into a booklet.
It looks great.
It does look great. Haven't used it yet.
No, I would imagine.
I'm keen. I'm just very, very keen to get into a bit of a better shape than I'm in. I don't feel bad, but I just think this is it's getting harder progressively every year.
Yeah,
like when you're young, you can sort of snap your body back into, and I'm 30 is a great age to be able to do that. Everything's working how it should. But as I get, if I get to 40, I remember how hard it was for my dad to keep in shape.
Yeah.
And then 50 now, dad's just fallen off the perch now. He's closer to 60. But the point is, I want to give it a try this year.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I made up my 17th excuse for the year, I reckon, because there were weekends I just wasn't going to go.
Of course.
But weekdays, I think it was about the 17th weekday, and I made up the excuse that because I was sunburnt, lifting weights could like stretch my, I could end up with stretch marks from like, because my skin's already in trauma because I'm sunburnt.
Mm.
That actually went through my brain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reason to not go to the gym, because I'm going to be so Arnie-like that I will stretch my skin with the terrible little 15 kilo weights I'm planning to try and do.
Yeah. I understand.
It doesn't make sense. And I had to sit there and realize to myself, I was like, you are making up excuses now. This is actually the worst excuse. This is barely an excuse.
Exactly.
This doesn't even make sense. Like,
you're just attributing things that you do throughout the day. It's like, well, I can't go to the gym because my car's lever is a little bit sticky. It doesn't quite go into gear.
The only way this works as an excuse is if I knew a dermatologist and could ring them and say the stupid thing I just said. And if they went, you know, that's actually kind of true.
Very good.
Cool. That's it. No, that will never happen. That will
excuse.
Never happen. I also don't know a dermatologist, but my point is
13-10-60, by the way, if you're a dermatologist.
Does that actually happen? Well, should you not work out skin that's in trauma? I don't know.
Yeah.
But is mild sunburn trauma? I don't know.
Mm.
I am making up excuses, which leads me to believe I am never going to get back into the gym.
Yeah, it is kind of seeming that way. The more you put it off, the harder it is to get back into. I just like to think of it this way. It's like, I do feel bad about not going to the gym because I have also signed up for the same gym and I feel bad about not going. My punishment is paying for a gym I don't go to ever. So it does work out in the wash.
My friend, I got over that fear probably a good decade ago. I essentially donate to gyms all across the nation.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit meja.com.au.
Hit 104.7.